That's not just a singular case. That's just not something that happens with Paul. We see that all throughout church history. Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of our faith. 10 of the 12 apostles were martyred for spreading the gospel. John the 11th was not martyred only because he survived being boiled alive, and so they just sent him off to an island to be exiled. Dozens of others have been beaten and arrested and killed because of their faith. Even today, it is worse than it ever has been. In the 20th century, more Christians were martyred for their faith than the previous 19 centuries combined. And still, to this day, there are dozens of countries where evangelism and exactly this advance of the gospel is illegal. In 1979, Iran went through a revolution, and at that time, the government became a hardline Islamic regime. Missionaries were driven out, evangelism was outlawed, the Bible translated into Persian was made illegal, many pastors were killed, and the church of Iran, that was already very small at the time, was feared by many people that it would just be wiped out completely. But the exact opposite thing has happened. In the last 20 years, more Iranians have become Christians than in the previous 13 centuries combined. And in fact, it is the fastest growing evangelical church in the world. And those people are influencing the country of Afghanistan, which is the second fastest growing evangelical church in the world. In Africa, where much of this persecution takes place, in 1900 there were less than 9 million Christians in the entire continent. Today, there are over 541 million Christians, and the church is growing at a rapid rate. For years in China, the church has been forced to meet in private homes and in private businesses because of fear of what the government would do. And in 10 to 15 years, many believe that China will be the largest Christian nation on the planet. See, the gospel is not limited by any opposition. Paul writes to them and says, no matter what happens, the gospel will continue to advance. Nothing will stop it. Prisons cannot contain it, armies cannot defeat it, governments cannot outlaw it, and even death itself cannot stop the advancement of the gospel. So I wonder, can anything limit the gospel? In Acts 16, we read of the beginning of this church that Paul writes to. Paul is on a missionary journey and he is in the city of Philippi. At this time, there is no church there. And there are three accounts in that chapter that we read. In the first one, Paul meets this woman named Lydia. Lydia is a seller of purple cloth. That seems like a strange detail, but the only reason that that matters is because that means that she was probably a wealthy individual, probably a pretty significant member of society. Paul meets her and explains the gospel to her, and her entire household are baptized and are no doubt members of this church that he's writing to now. The next story is Paul is being followed around. Him and Silas are going around the city and they are being followed by a slave girl. The slave girl is possessed by an evil spirit, and the spirit enables her to tell people things about the future. So her owners are able to make money off of this. It's kind of a, you know, sideshow type thing. Well, after a few days of this girl following them around and telling people who they are and what they've come to do, it is hindering what Paul and Silas are trying to accomplish. And so Paul casts that demon out of her, frees her of that possession. And as you can imagine, her owners are not very happy because they've lost the chance to profit off of her. So as a result, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. That happens a lot to Paul, it seems like. While in prison, we read about the third person. A supernatural event occurs during the night. An earthquake happens. The doors of the prison are thrown open. And the Roman soldier who was there to guard the prisoners believes that everyone has escaped and is about to take his own life because that would have been his punishment coming anyway for letting the prisoners go. When Paul and Silas call out to them and say, hey, we're still here. Don't Don't hurt yourself. Don't do anything. We haven't left. And they share the gospel with him. And just like Lydia, he and his entire household are baptized and are part, become part of the church. And what is of note is that these people are of different backgrounds, different ages, different genders. One of them is a wealthy woman who is probably an important member of society, and one of them is a slave girl who has no rights whatsoever. But no matter what their circumstances are, the gospel still reaches them and makes their hearts change. The gospel is not limited to any hearer. Gender, race, ethnicity, social status, it doesn't matter what has happened in the past. The gospel has the ability to reach anyone who is willing to accept it. So I wonder, can anything limit the gospel? Charles Colson is a name some of you might recognize. In 1968, he joined Richard Nixon's campaign, helped get him elected. And after Nixon became president, Colson's ruthlessness and his willingness to do anything that would please the president made him his go-to man, his second in command, if you will, special counselor to him. As the years unfolded, Colson was heavily involved in the Watergate scandal. And after his re-election in 72, as the Watergate scandal began to unfold and things began to come to light, Colson was the obvious scapegoat of the administration. And those who were seeking charges focused in on Colson. After he was let go, he started to try to build back his law firm. He needed, you know, a job at this time. And so he met with the CEO of a company that he was hoping to begin to represent. And the CEO began to share with him after their meeting about how he had given his life to Jesus and how it had completely changed. And he told Colson that if you ever want to hear about that story, just let me know. Well, that day, Colson was not interested, but eventually he did listen to the man. He heard the gospel message from him. And over the next few months, his life began to change, and he became a follower of Jesus who had once been so ruthless and so dedicated to doing anything it took to make it up the ranks that he was involved in one of the largest scandals in the history of our country. As the prosecutors focused in on him, they offered him a deal, actually. If he would admit to a certain act, he would have a very short prison sentence, but he knew as a Christian that it would have been wrong to admit to something he hadn't done against the advice of his own counsel and his family. And so he actually pled guilty to the things that he had been involved in and spent time in prison. And it was there that he had a revelation of what his life should be about now. It was there that he realized he had an opportunity to reach out to the people that were in that prison. And in fact, after he was freed years later, after a couple of days, he walked back into that same prison, a freed man, and began a prison ministry that not only changed how prison ministry was done in the United States, but all over the world. He became a major player in leading tons of people to Jesus. Because he understood whether you are one of the most powerful men in the world or whether you are someone in a prison cell who has lost some of their rights, the gospel is not limited to anyone who hears it. So, can anything limit the gospel? There has only been one thing throughout history and still to this day that has ever limited the gospel and caused it not to advance. There's only been one thing that has ever caused the good news of Jesus coming to earth, living a sinless life, going to the cross to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God, and then rising 3 days later, who is now sitting at the right hand of God waiting to return and bring us back to Him. And the only thing that has ever stopped that spread, the only thing that has ever kept the gospel from advancing, is a people who are unwilling to proclaim it. Church, we have the good news. We have hope. We have the words of life. And there is nothing that can keep it from advancing. There is nothing that can keep it from changing people's lives and turning people's hearts to God, except when we refuse to explain it and proclaim it to people. There are some phrases that we like to use that I think are good intentions. They have good intentions behind them, but I think they miss the point a little bit. Yeah. We hear things like, your life is the only Bible that someone may ever read, or preach the gospel, when necessary, use words. Those things are good on the surface. We need to be an example to people. We need our lives to have integrity and show people whose we are and the reason that we live the way we do. But if we stop short of explaining the gospel and explaining what Jesus has done for people on the cross, then we miss the point. Our lives are not the gospel. We cannot just sit there and live a Christian life and hope that people come to us and say, hey, tell me about Jesus. That may happen, but that's probably not how it's going to work. We have to be bold enough to approach people and actually proclaim the words of the good news, or else the gospel is not going to advance. If you sit down at a restaurant and you order a steak and your baked potato and a salad, and the waiter brings it to your table a few minutes later, he takes it on the plate and he shows it to you, your steak is cooked medium rare because it's a sin to cook it any farther than that. That's not in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure God's going to back me up on that someday in heaven. And he shows you the plate and he says, man, this looks amazing, doesn't it? This smells really good. And then he walks away and takes it back to the kitchen. Then your hunger is not satisfied for that steak. You can't just look at something and smell something and examine something and have it satisfy you. The only way to be satisfied is to cut into that steak and to start to eat it. And in the same way, we cannot just let our lives be an example to people. We have to tell them the gospel, or else their hunger for Jesus is never going to be fulfilled. The gospel is not limited by any opposition. The gospel is not limited to any hearer. The gospel is only limited by a people who are unwilling to proclaim it. I don't know about you, but there are very specific moments in my life where I can remember just how the gospel has affected me. Once I was decided to be baptized is one of them, leading up to that. And the other is whenever I was in junior high on the campus of Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana. During a Believe conference, person standing on stage, I could walk you to this day to the chair that I was at, because the man explained what Jesus had done, how he had come to earth because he loved us, because he loved us enough to take our punishment and get rid of the sin that was in our lives so that we could have relationship with God. And I was wrecked. And it wasn't because of an example that someone had said. It was because someone realized that if I don't speak these words of life, then people will never hear it and people's lives will never be changed. Church, we have to be a people who is willing to proclaim the good news that we have, or else the gospel will never advance. Romans 6:4 says this: therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, we have been given a new life. We know the words of life that people need to hear. And we have to be a people who are willing to proclaim them. Or else the gospel will not advance. Father, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus. We are amazed at his love and his willingness to come to the cross, to bear our punishment and our sin, and Father, to conquer death through his resurrection. God, we pray that we would be a people who would go out into the world and who would spread that message, because it is the only hope that people have. Father, thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.